From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, it's another Thursday night, so we all know what that means. It is time to listen to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com, and that is exactly what you are doing right now. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. Hello, Karen, how are you?
Hello, I'm here. I was just listening to your smooth, dulcet tones. You're getting so good at that introduction, you know, you're starting to sound like a radio guy.
Am I really? I certainly hope so, because I plan on taking George Norrie's job within the next year or two.
So you need a radio voice. Do you have a radio voice and a regular voice?
No, actually, I speak in, you know, my regular voice, even on the radio. So, I mean, it's like, hey, it probably doesn't sound like, all right, everybody, you're listening to this show.
Oh, there you go. Actually, that's a good radio voice. You should test drive that one, maybe on the next show. Hey, everybody, it's Rick Hale.
It's Rockin' Rick. Yeah, I can't do that. That just sounds so disingenuous. So, Karen, tonight we have a pretty decent show. We're going to have Ellen, one of the founders and the president of The Past Is Present, based out of Yakima, Washington, which is kind of near you, right?
Yeah, I know Ellen. Okay. And I have never investigated with her group, but we interacted with them. They had a great conference last year that I spoke at. Okay. And they're great, great group. So I'm looking forward to talking to Ellen, because I tell you what, that woman gets some of the most amazing evidence, some of which you have seen.
Yes, I have looked at these photographs, and they are quite possibly some of the most amazing photographs I have ever seen. Now, I've never gotten photographs of this, but I have been attacked by something that looks like that. But if anybody wants to take a look at them, you can go to paranormalunderground.net, which is, of course, the father figure of this radio show. And you can take a look at those pictures for yourself, and I tell you what, you will be extremely impressed. Speaking of which, Karen, the June issue is online this month.
With a freaky cover.
With a very freaky cover. And I got to be honest with you, I have never heard of the Anguished Man painting. I've never heard of that before. Have you?
No. As a matter of fact, if you look at the article, he inherited it. The guy who owns it inherited it from his grandmother. And the rumor is that the artist who committed suicide shortly after painting the painting mixed a little of his blood in with the paint.
Oh, I see. So I guess naturally we are made to assume that that's supposed to cause it to be something mystical.
I'm not sure. I just started reading the article, and then, you know, how things are in a busy household. I didn't get far. I got as far as, you know, blood in the paint and was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I can tell you.
I have not yet returned to it. What, Cheryl?
It is. There are supposed paranormal experiences around the painting, and the person who wrote the article on this haunted painting, Sean Robinson, basically has experienced paranormal phenomena since obtaining the painting from his grandmother, and she did before him. So,
oh, okay.
That's the scoop. That's,
yeah,
kinda,
I like haunted
like the
object
box.
Stories.
Yeah.
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 I like haunted object stories. And so, you know, like Robbie the Haunted Doll and things like that. I actually find objects with haunted attachments fascinating. And as a matter of fact, one of the museums in town that I wrote an article about here a while ago, and that actually Ellen, our guest, has investigated, I believe, as well,
has
the curator actually believes that the hauntings are attached to the objects that come through the museum. And they developed the theory because there was a Native American basket on display, and they got an EVP of somebody saying, help me. And then it was moved up to storage, and they got the same EVP where the basket was in storage.
Right. Well, I mean, when you think about it, you know, the things that we possess in life, you know, we absolutely love. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I love my computer, so hopefully, you know, well, I don't know, maybe one day I'll be haunting it. But speaking of hauntings, we were talking a little bit about this before the show. McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, the the group that I belong to here in Northern Illinois, we had a pretty heavy duty investigation this past Saturday.
So tell me what you can about it.
Well, basically what I can tell you about it is this. First off, we worked with another group. They actually contacted us because they didn't really know how to deal with a negative human entity. And this was definitely a negative human entity. It wasn't like, you know, Zach Bagans type demons are going to, you know, swallow our souls and whatever. But it was numerous spirits, but the one negative human spirit was a former resident of the home who had, I believe he had committed suicide. And he was actually harming the children and presenting himself to the little girl like he was a one of those shadow people. One of the worst things about it, I mean, not only did one of our investigators get shoved, Michelle, Vicky was trying to channel this spirit, and he kind of took over a little bit and, you know, kind of made her life sort of a living hell. And you know, it was like after he went after her, that son of a gun went right after me, and I could feel him just like fly right up to the side of me. And it was like, dude, you need to go away because we're going to take care of you here in a little bit. So we were actually able to help these people, you know, more than just, you know, taking pictures and presenting EVPs and saying, all right, have fun with this entity that's making your lives a living hell. No, we actually sage and bless the house and, you know,
and does that work? Do you find?
I have found that it works. We keep in touch with all of our former clients, and the ones that we have had to cleanse their home, they do say we have had nothing in our home at all. We're not getting scratches in the middle of the night. We're not hearing loud footsteps. You know, not hearing bangings on the wall. None of that. What, you know? Apparently, this ancient Native American ritual works, and I've never been a big believer in it until I actually took part in it. It took part in a few of them actually, and found that it appears to work. And I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, you know, that's interesting because if the Ghostbusters had known about that, they wouldn't have had a movie.
Well, you know what? I think we all secretly want an unlicensed, unregulated nuclear power plant hanging off our back. I'll be the first to admit it. I do, and I know you do too, Karen.
Oh, yes. You know, because I want to give birth to three-eyed children with tails. So. sounds like a great idea. Well, we actually are hoping that we are going to be able to get into Wellington this week, so I'm looking forward to that because I have missed it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really just I need a little bit of Wellington.
Sure.
So, yeah. Well, your spooky entity sounds spooky.
Yeah, he was pretty nasty. I mean, one of the most amazing thing was is we actually were able to document a ball moving across the floor.
Oh, on film. Video.
The other group did it.
Oh.
They were actually able to document it on video, and whether or not they're going to put it up on their website, I have no idea. But it's PISRS ghosthunters.com, and it's David Litton's group, and they were all of them were very much new to the field, but they got their head on their shoulders. They know exactly what they're doing.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the sage in a house, how about if you do it like in an open space? Like say there's a haunting outdoors in somebody's backyard or something. Would it work?
I've never had to do it. I don't know.
Okay.
That's one of those things. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. And, you know, there's no experts in this field. So nobody has all the answers. Like Tony, our founder and our lead investigator, says all the experts are dead. They're all on the other side. They're the ones that they're the ones that know for sure.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do this. Let's go to break.
Okay.
Get Ellen on the phone.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will be talking with Ellen of Past is Present from Yakawa. that's a new abbreviation for Yakima, Washington. Yakawa.
It's your home state.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back with Ellen from Past is Present.
If you are a small business, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Enjoy the fun.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Thank you. station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. I'm Karen Frazier here with Rick Hale.
Hello.
Hey, and we have our guest who is somebody who I have been looking forward to having come on. Our guest is Ellen Allmendinger, and she is just across the mountains from me a wee bit in Yakima, Washington. And she is one of the you're the founder of Past as Present, aren't you, Ellen?
Well, there's a couple, actually, but one of them.
She's one of the founders of Past as Present, and comes up with some of the most amazing evidence I've ever seen. As a matter of fact, if you want to see Ellen's evidence as we talk about it, you can go to paranormalunderground.net, and if you scroll down, you'll see a picture of Ellen, and somewhere near Ellen will be a big thing that says click here, and that'll take you to the pictures. So, Ellen, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Ellen.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Now, so, Ellen...
Okay, I was gonna just tell her that you had a question for her about the team name.
Yes, I had a question about the team name. What does PAST mean exactly?
Paranormal and Spirit Team.
Awesome. All right, right on. I can dig that. That's very simple, actually. I can't believe I didn't figure that out for myself.
It is, but it sounds better to say the past is present, you know, because you're looking for the past and the present. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like your name. I've always thought that your team name was pretty cool. So Ellen and I met. Did we meet first at your conference, or were you at the one before that I did in Oregon? I don't remember.
We were down in Oregon. We saw your presentation. I didn't really get a chance to talk to you, but we were down there. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you guys had a conference. Now, are you doing a conference again, or was it just too much work?
It's a lot of work, isn't it? We are going to do one, but not this year. I think this fall there's one in Portland, and and we're busy. So we kind of, in talking to people, decided to do it every other year.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like about what you did with your conference that I haven't seen at other conferences is you made a real effort for public outreach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had, you know, basically it was all... sponsored by the public. I mean, we didn't have to pay, you know, for anything.
Well, and you invited them, too. I know they came to the meet and greet, some of them, and some of them came. Actually, a lot. There were a lot of members of the public, more than usually at paranormal conferences. What I see are a lot of paranormal people. And
nerds like me.
Yeah, and at yours, there were a lot of people. I had a lot of people come up, and a lot of them were really interesting because they were people who were having experiences, and they didn't really know what to do with it. Was that kind of your experience there, too, Ellen?
Yeah, and they didn't know what to do with it, or they were interested, or they just wanted to find out what it was about or what was going on. So, yeah, we were shocked, too, with the amount of people. And the backlash of that, you know, was just phenomenal. Ever since, we've just been horribly busy, which is good, you know, but yeah, it was really well received for a small little town called Yakima.
Yeah, you feel free to use that. You can say past is present from Yakima. You can get t-shirts.
Yakima, and you can put on that officially endorsed by Karen Frazier of ParanormalUnderground.net.
there you go. An official capital of brothels or something.
That's right. That's right. Now, Yakima is... Tell us a little bit about the town of Yakima, because it's kind of a historic and cute little town. So tell us what happens in Yakima and about what goes on there.
I was just going to say, Ellen, you know, this is going to be kind of a treat for me because I'm here in Chicago. So I always like hearing about other places, you know, across the country. So, you know...
Called Yakima,
especially
Yakima. First of all,
Washington.
it's pronounced Yakima, not Yakima, right, Ellen?
Correct.
Yakima.
Yeah. Not much, you know, it's a small city. Not as small as it can get, but really Chicago, obviously. It's mostly agricultural-based town.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, most of the people all came in the late 1800s from wherever, you know, for agricultural stuff, and evidently, a lot of them are still around, I mean, some years later. But yeah, so that's a, you know, the typical, I would say, small city in the Pacific Northwest, in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah, my college roommate was from Yakima, you know. So, yeah. There you go. That's
now,
right.
It's not so bad.
Now, Ellen, with Yakima, is there like a is there a heavy Native American culture and influence up that way?
Yeah, there yes. is. There okay. is. And it's actually spelled differently, but named after the Yakima Indian tribe, which is, I think it's like the third largest Indian reservation in, I don't know, Western United States or Northwest or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is. Or it was at one time, at least on the lower valley end of it, but yes.
Okay.
I didn't know it was spelled differently.
Yeah.
How's the tribe spelled?
They spelled it the same way for years and years and years until people started looking at the treaty that they signed with the government, and it was spelled Y-A-K-A-M-A on the treaty.
I never noticed that.
Spelling it that way.
Mm-hmm. I'll be darned, but I never noticed that.
Yeah, so now the tribe spells it back the treaty away, but the city obviously didn't change it.
Right.
Okay.
So you do ghost tours there. That's one of the functions that you guys do with Past is Present, right?
Yes.
So tell us about the places that you take people and why people would be interested in them from a haunted perspective.
Well, Yakima is a small town, but it's evidently, we're finding more and more today that it's a great hideaway for ghosts, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
Being small town, it's very conservative. That all started with some workings we had with the Committee for Downtown Yakima. They wanted to help revitalize downtown Yakima with ghost information and tours. Well, we don't like make up stories, but what it did is it opened up the doors to business owners for us to get in and investigate. So then we ended up people wanting to know, so we ended up doing tours, and we included the places that we've gone and answers, whatever we found at those, whether it was something or not. Mm-hmm. And then we did a lot of research because there's a lot of history to Yakima that people don't know. And we added that in. And then people on the street started telling us tons of experiences they've had downstairs in the buildings. So we've added that as, the word on the street versus, what we found. So it's been really well received.
Right.
Yeah, I love that the city is actually working with you, and that they're using that as part of revitalization. You don't hear that. Maybe you hear it a little more now, but I don't think that's something that is real common, that cities are willing to embrace that. Do you think that's common?
No, it's not common, and it's kind of the Committee for Downtown Yakima is kind of a separate entity than the city itself, mm-hmm. but it's based with all the business owners, and economy is rough, and businesses are having a hard time, and they've caught on to the fact that you start saying the word paranormal now, mm-hmm. and people come from all over, and so it's actually, we're not getting money off of it, that's not our goal, but it's increasing, the restaurants and the businesses that we do, people will actually go in now and eat or check it out or whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, now, okay, that's kind of like what I wanted to talk about, because we've actually touched on this a few times on the show in the past. I personally, for me, I'm very skeptical whenever, a restaurant says we're haunted, or a bed and breakfast says we're haunted, or, a hotel says we're haunted. That really doesn't, I'm not really buying it for the most part, but the pictures that you have are pretty fantastic.
Let's talk about those pictures.
Let's talk
paranormalunderground.net, guys. Go to paranormalunderground.net, click on the click here link next to the picture of Ellen, and mm-hmm. you can take a look at her ghost pictures, because they're some of the most amazing ghost pictures or pictures captured on investigation I've ever seen.
Yes.
So, Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys get such good pictures?
I have no idea. We're just extremely, really, like anything else, half the time it's being at the right time, at the right place, at the right moment. And we, these were all taken by different members of our team, none of which is me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, too, is we do tons of research on our buildings, or one mm-hmm. or two of us does. So the whole team doesn't go in. So we look for little triggers or trigger points, you know, that might draw this stuff out. It's kind of like if you walk up to someone who's into car racing, you're not going to ask them about a lion in Africa because they're just not going to be interested.
Sure.
So we trigger, you know, if it's a car dealership, we say, hey, what kind of cars did you sell? You know, that might trigger some kind of a response.
Mm-hmm.
It's not baiting because you can't, obviously, you can't fake, well, I suppose people could, but these aren't fake. Mm-hmm. You know, what comes out in a picture or in video or in EVP is not going to be self-implanted by knowing what went on at the business.
Right.
Okay. You know, that's not going to have an effect on you, do you see, unless you're sensitive. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So with that trigger, we've had tons of luck catching this stuff, and I honestly think it's part of that because it's a common ground, so to speak.
Sure.
But yeah, we actually caught one or two more that are questionable that we're iffy on. But yeah, it's just I don't know. I don't know how we get them, but we do.
Well, let's talk about them a little bit. You know, how they were caught. You know, when you guys were investigating, and was there anything else that was caught at the investigations that, you know, can really back up the photographs? Because a lot of people look at those photographs and say it could be a shadow of something or somebody, but apparently sure. These places are really truly haunted. So.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you tell us a little bit about them so, you know, so our listeners know, you know, exactly what it is that you guys have dealt with.
Sure, sure. And then I'll preface that with, too, with on all of these, I mean, we take tons of control shots, you know, boom, boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. These mm-hmm. only show up in one of those tons of shots.
Okay.
You know, the average camera lens shuts at, what, 30 seconds to 45 seconds, depending on what you've got. That's not enough time for a human being to move out of the way.
Okay.
Right.
You know, so, and we don't do the only photoshopping we do is I circle copies of, you know, so you could see where I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But that, and they're just in, you know, all of these locations, we got tons of EVP. Some of them we got 5 clips of video manipulation. One of them we had 236 EVPs.
236?
Yeah.
In one investigation?
In one investigation.
That's almost unheard of.
Where was that, Ellen?
That was at the sports center. It's the same places, you know, personal experiences when you're in an investigation, you think your hair was touched. Well, we note it, but we don't consider that as evidence unless it's backed up with a photo, video, or EVP right then.
Mm-hmm.
We had 26 personal experiences backed up with more than one piece of evidence.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
gosh,
you know,
no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't stick around for the visit to the sports center that night at the at the conference.
Well, come on back.
You know what? I will come over there by myself and you and I will hang. We can go hang out at the sports center.
There you go. There you go.
Well, now, look, let me ask you a little bit about the sports center, Ellen. Do you guys have... Can you tell us a little bit of the history? I mean, how old is the building? And, you know, you say that you do a lot of research before you do an investigation. Have you guys been able to figure out, you know, who these entities are?
Before you answer that, I've got to ask you, so I'm looking at the Sports Center picture now. Did it occur to you that it might be haunted by one of the village people?
Because of the guy behind the bar?
Yeah.
It did occur to me, except for we, It, oddly enough, that gentleman that was caught, if you, it's hard to see on here, he has sunglasses and stuff on, and we happen to be showing that to somebody that the team knows, not somebody on our team,
mm-hmm.
who happened to be best friends with that gentleman who worked there. The guy was shot in the back parking lot 20 years ago.
Oh,
he
goodness.
Looks like he looks like a cop. I mean, but that just might be my bad eyes. I eyesight.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. When the guy saw, he said, "Oh my God, that's JJ." So yeah.
Wow.
Now, have you guys tried to, you know, directly contact JJ, and maybe using a, you know, a medium, or, you know, just doing EVP alone?
No, because we didn't know it was JJ. One, we didn't know he had the shot until, you know, after the investigation when you're analyzing him.
Mm-hmm.
Two. We didn't know that JJ was an employee. We didn't know anything about JJ at the time.
Okay.
Hmm. So, and we haven't been back. I mean, we'd love to go back, but our investigation there was a 3-phase, 8-hour investigation. So we've got so many other lined up that, you know, maybe this winter we'll go back or something.
So tell us about the Sports Center.
Okay, the Sports Center was built in, when I say ish, it's mm-hmm. within a year or two or three of the dates, okay? Because it was hard to tell by the records exactly when. But it was built in approximately 1907-ish. And it started out as a hotel and various businesses until the 1950s when some owners, I'm not going to release some of the names just because family members are still alive, bought it and turned it into a restaurant gambling joint. Mm-hmm. And then in the 60s and 70s, that increased by the same owners with motorcycle activity and documented mafia activity, basically.
Okay.
In fact, we linked it back to Frank Calcherio from the West Side. Jeremy, you've heard of him. Big, well-known West Side mobster. Mm-hmm. Was actually co-owners of this place at one time.
Oh,
interesting. Okay. Paperwork. So then that family basically just shut the doors and walked away from the place in the early 90s. And it sat vacant until the early 2000s when the current owners bought it. And then just basically brought it back to life, minus the gambling and the illegal stuff from the brothel that was upstairs.
Right.
Now, I think it's kind of, I think it's really funny that you guys say that Yakima is the home of brothels. Now, have you dealt with any, you know, spirits in Yakima that were like, you know, yeah, I was a hooker in life.
That would be likely to touch Zach Bagans' butt, is that what you're asking her?
Well, let me tell you about that.
I don't care about
laughing?
Zach Bagans' butt, but...
Yeah?
you're laughing, but... on two of our investigations that had that activity in it, we had investigators touched on the butt, touched in the boob. We picked up EVPs of what you know, imagine what you would hear in a brothel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got EVPs of it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yes. I would imagine there's no Bible studies going on at a brothel. I could be wrong, though.
No, you know, as soon as somebody starts up that paranormal porn website, we'll be posting some of those.
Nice.
Wow. So, at the Sports Center, is it just JJ, or are there many, 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 do you think?
There are many.
Yeah.
There are many. What's surprising is we got, without even saying direct names, during the investigation, we got 8 names of confirmed on paperwork owners, mafia people, families that were involved. I mean, just flat out said their name. So they're obviously there. Then there were tons of others, you know, just kind of coming and going without their names. I mean, we had conversations between them.
Okay.
It's there. My guess is there's probably... and I don't have it all in front of me. There's probably at least 10 intelligent and at least 10 to 12 non or residuals there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's 236 EVPs.
And you guys are just using amazing. You guys are just using cameras and recorders. You're not using
anything. And DVR. Well, yeah. We're using DVR. At the Sports Center, we actually caught 5 video clips of object manipulation. We had a door slammed in our face twice.
Okay.
We had sheets torn off. The videos that we covered them up with sheets so the light wouldn't interfere with it, they were torn off and backed up with EVP. We had members hit, kicked, slapped, pushed. It was a pretty brutal night.
Wow.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. You know, you talk about the mafia being really involved up in Yakima. It almost sounds, you know, here in Chicago.
Hello?
I mean, most of our hello?
Sorry, we had one of our Skype issues.
Oh,
it happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, Ellen. You know, you talk about the mafia being a major part of Yakima, and it kind of sounds like here in Chicago, where, you know, most of our ghosts are, you know, guns, bullets, and blood. But do you have you ever, you know, come across any spirits up there that are like, yeah, you know, yeah, the big boss whacked me because I talk too much. You ever had anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. So okay. Go ahead, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was gonna change the subject. So go ahead and answer whatever you were gonna say, and then I'll change the subject.
No, go ahead and change it, because right. I really don't want to touch too deep, you know. I mean,
yes. No, that's okay. Fine. So I'm looking at the shadow image, and it's I'm thinking, is this at the place that we had dinner at the depot? Is that where that was
captured? Are you talking about the last picture you have posted on there?
I will tell you. I think it's number 3.
At Sports Center?
No, yeah. Oh, no, this one is number 3. It says, shadow figure from the area of the Depot Restaurant and Lounge, formerly backed...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, by the historic... Mm. So...
Yeah, that's where we had dinner the night of the conference, yeah.
Yeah, now that looks like a dude standing there. You know what it looks like? It looks like William when he gets dressed up to do his tours in his hat, doesn't it?
It kind of does, but here's the deal. William was not with our investigation.
I know. It's just it's the only thing I can compare it to. And of course, nobody knows who we're talking about. We're talking about an investigator from West Coast Ghost Hunters, William Becker, and he dresses up when he does his historic ghost tours in period clothing, and it looks like him. So,
Well, you know, and it's funny because when we got that, we went back and tried to debunk it, and when you look at the height of that individual, remember, that's cropped, so it's really easier for you to see. That's not the whole picture, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was no one there that was shaped like that. We tried to get the guys to stand with their shoulders like that. It's impossible to have your shoulder that low.
Okay.
You know, you can see all the colors and textures around that thing, but you could not see any on the shadow figure. You know, you can't see clothing color, you can't see anything, it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know, but there's several common supposed reports of shadow figures when you catch them. And one of them is red eyes. We've never caught one of those. Another.
See, that was the question I'm sorry, Alan. See, now that was a question I was going to ask you. That
red
seems
eyes?
To be... Yeah, well, red eyes, that seems to be a common thread with shadow people. They actually have names for these things, like the one that wears a hat is called the king of the shadow people or whatever. But did you notice anything like that, you know, like a hat or...
This guy has a hat.
Yeah.
Look, he's wearing a hat.
Oh, he does have a hat on. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I didn't see the hat. All I saw was what looked like a hat, so...
Well, the one there, you know, in the bar area that Karen was referring to, I don't know, to me doesn't look like a hat, but the one next to it that's down in the basement in the depot, he's got a top hat on, which I used to laugh at that hysterically because when I'm reading these reports about the top things, we've never caught one with red eyes, and next was a top hat. I'm like, yeah, right, sure, until we did this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to look for the dude with the top hat.
No, I definitely saw the top hat.
You know, and so I kind of, you know, I don't know what to say about that. But one of the other major things on shadow figures is, and you'll see it in the Sports Center one too, the person entering the bathroom, is they're distorted. Their shoulders tend to be not at a normal angle.
Right.
Or when you know, they're not normal position. We could not debunk the one in the depot because we couldn't get any of our members that were male or female of that height to stand where their shoulders are that low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of sent some chills down my spine a little bit when I was looking at it because it looked pretty similar to something that knocked me on my butt about 20 years ago. So
well,
it's
maybe
kinda
you moved
like,
over here.
No, it was at a trailer park in just north of Chicago. But those shadow figures can be pretty nasty if they want to be.
So do you guys both think that shadow figures are ghosts just showing up in a different way?
You know, that's a tough call. We've been, you know, tossing around theories and we've kind of come up with this weird one. I don't know how accurate it is, but we've noticed when we've been taking our pictures, we've had investigators, you know, note on audio stuff that they've experienced when they're taking pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that we've noticed with our shadow figure shots is that someone always says it's getting cold. So we wonder, it's like, okay, so shadow figure, is it like a black hole where it's got to suck in all the energy to form? Okay. Is that why everyone's getting cold? Versus the apparition shots that we've gotten, we've had investigators say, gosh, it's getting warm in here. So they're able to manifest to where at least partially, or you can see features, so are they emitting heat like a human being would?
So you're saying one's endothermic and one's exothermic.
Basically, and then, you know, you get the light beams, which we just, we've never caught in one, but I don't even know what, how to place that. But, yeah, I mean, you've noticed, so it's something we've been discussing, is like, you know, okay, it's black because it's sucking in, can't manifest any other way, whereas the other ones have more energy to manifest, so they're able to emit energy.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting observation, and what that means. Well, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Wow. So these pictures are just, I have never seen. So like this one shadow figure, it's the last one. It's the shadow figure at the sports center. So tell me, did you capture this or did somebody else? Tell me what you did and what happened.
Okay. Well, that was actually, we had our a little, technical video glitch, you know. So we were all outside except for one member who was just taking just random photos, I mean, control shots. So every single one of us was outside. We had 16 other people outside. And she was taking these shots and came up with that picture. It's kind of hard to tell, you know, because of the it's hard to tell unless I have the full picture to show you. But that shadow figure is actually entering the women's restroom. And when no one else was in the room, and she never saw the door open, and there's a light behind that door. When you look at it and it's blown up, it looks like a woman wearing a dress with her hair up in a bun. Okay. Well, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but when my team goes on investigations, we're not wearing dresses.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and none of us have buns. But ironically enough, come to find out, we didn't find out until we finished the investigation that we did with the partial apparition.
Okay.
Coming out of the safe, that woman is probably a woman by the name of Susan, who is now dead, but was involved with the mafia and was known to frequent both buildings.
Okay.
Oh, so these are they adjacent buildings or real close by? Or?
Well, actually, they're about half a block apart.
Okay. All right, so let's... Oh, go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to ask, you know, do you guys, what is the date on this, particular apparition? Before the 50s, after the 50s, you know, what year would you think?
Well, if you start from the top, the one with the partial apparition of the shoulder and the arm coming out, that one is most likely 60s, 70s, 80s. It's, that's the generation where all the activity was happening in that building.
Okay.
That building gave us permission to release the photo and a few clips, but nothing, not where it's at or anything like that, based on some business stuff that's going on.
Sure.
The two shadow figures in the depot are dated back to the early 1900s, probably not long after that building was built, based on some activities that was going on there.
Okay.
And then the two at the sports center were definitely late 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Okay.
Wow.
Karen, if you don't mind, I just have like one more, one question.
No. I'm just keep clicking through all these pictures, so I'm good.
Okay. Another question I have for you is, Alan, at the top of the show, I asked you about, heavy Native American population. Have you dealt with any entities that would, would appear to be of Native American origin?
Yes. Not in these photos, but yes. We just did a private home case in Yakima, and that's all I'll say about that, because I don't want to say, exactly where it's at due to confidential stuff. But
sure.
It was built on a location of an old school.
Okay.
that basically did migrant and Indian children.
Okay.
We're just wrapping up the analysis on that. We've got several EVPs, not in Native American, but just kind of basing on the fact that it's all linked back to another location we've been monitoring on the Indian reservation, which also was an Indian school.
Okay.
We haven't really had any direct, you know, spirits of Indians, if that's right. What you're asking, but we've had links to that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so we're going to switch gears because I want to talk about some of the things that you have coming up. I know you guys are heading over to this side of the mountains here real soon. So let's go to break a little bit early, Cheryl, is that okay, Cheryl?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, so cool. Let's go to break a little bit early, and then we can switch gears when we get back. So
okay,
so you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Hey, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers for Rad. I'm here to remind you that drunk drivers are still a major killer of young adults in this country. So always choose a designated driver and remember, music lives, you should too.
Getting on in the state of Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I know what you are. You drive too fast, you smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
I am living on Channel Z.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. It is us, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, your faithful hosts. And tonight we are here with Ellen Almendinger, one of the founders of Past is Present, Yakima. See, I, for some reason, I just want to say Yakima. I don't know why. But Yakima, Wisconsin. And we've been talking about some of their investigations.
No.
What did I say?
Not Wisconsin.
Yakima, Washington. Excuse me.
We are so not from Wisconsin, man. So, Ellen, before we went to break, I mentioned that I wanted to talk to you about what you're doing this summer, because you and another team that's actually local to where I am have combined, and you're going to do a little paranormal camp, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. And actually, SSPR is doing most of the work. But we're meeting up with them and William from West Coast Ghost Centers and Blackworth Paranormal, and hopefully if you come up
I plan to be there.
Yeah, and basically there's a huge call, you know, it's kind of controversial, but there's a huge call for teenage kids. They just want to know what paranormal investigation is about. That's not that we're going to drag them through a full investigation at all, so don't hate me for that. But it's more like we're going to, you know, let them check out equipment, let them find out what it's like to do an EVP session for just a few minutes in a non-threatening, non-scary, non-formal investigation environment.
And the museum's
like a question and answer.
Yeah, and the museum's a good place to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't ever been there yet, but that'll be my first.
That's right. You were supposed to be there the night that I was there, and it was like snow in the mountains or something. You can come over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was supposed to be there for that powwow. I missed out on a good time.
I know, you did. Yeah.
See, Karen and I were talking about this before. I definitely would, you know, like to send, you know, my little 6-month-old there one day. Theodore Nicholas Hale, he's the future world's greatest paranormal investigator. So, you know, hopefully you guys can teach him if I ever decide to send him up there.
And you know, the night that I investigated it, Rick, was the night that he was born.
Oh, the night my little guy was born?
Yeah.
Nice. Neat.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a sign, maybe.
It's a sign from above. That's right. Well, so I like the idea of the camp. And I'll tell you, here's what I decided about kids in the paranormal. They're going to do it. So we might as well, you know, it's kind of like kids and sex. They're going to do it, so you might as well give them the right information and equipment.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and it's you know, at least in my mind, and other people involved are pretty professional. We're not going to take kids into an investigation where something might happen. I mean, y'all know stuff can go bad fast. That's
sure.
It's not a scare tactic thing. It's more of a, here, this is what our equipment looks like. Cool. Do you have any questions? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and school groups go through that museum all the time and nothing has happened, so it should be all right.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So what other stuff does your group have coming up then, Ellen?
Well, we've got that coming up in July. We got asked to come back to a local folk life festival. They have an informational booth. We've got that before that. We're wrapping up some investigations. We've got our tours going on once a month, and we've got about 3 or 4 other big investigations kind of in the works.
Sure.
And then, of course, once October comes, we're basically swamped 3 days out of the month with between tours and that kind of stuff. So we're busy.
You guys are busy.
Yeah.
We are. And you could see it. I don't know if you've been to our website or not, but you could see it on our website.
Do you want to give out that website real quick in case some, you know, people want to boogie on over there and check it out?
Sure. It's www.pastispresent.net.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Okay. So, Rick, you had something that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. You know, Ellen, I've never made it any, like, big secret that I'm a huge believer in, psychic phenomenon as well as, other areas of the paranormal. And one of the things that kind of struck me was when I was reading your bio was that you are actively involved in the psychic and energetic realm of paranormal research. I kind of have a feeling about the psychic thing, of course, but what exactly does the energetic mean?
Okay, well, first I want to put a little disclaimer on that in the fact that that's not the team. It's kind of separate from the team because the team
right.
does it scientifically. So I just want to make sure that there's a, separation there.
Sure.
Energetic means that the unseen is basically kind of relates back to what Asian philosophy is, subtile energy.
Okay.
Which is very close to the paranormal, if you think about it, like we were talking about shadow figures and stuff. That's subtile energy.
Sure.
You can't necessarily see it or touch it, but mm-hmm. or feel it unless you're sensitive, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the stuff that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. It's hard to explain in without a three-hour conversation, but basically, yes, that's what it is.
I think that the early, psychical researchers called that the ether, that area between our world and the next, that was what was touching us and making our hair stand on end.
Yeah, exactly. But it can come from the living as well as the dead. That's what a lot of people sure. don't know. It's not just the dead that you get that from. It's every living thing gives off energy.
Right.
You know,
well, yeah. So, I mean, I know. There's people around that make the hair stand up on the back of my neck quite a bit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's kind of what that's kind of what the energy is in my own personal mind. Energy is energy, and it doesn't matter if it's coming from a ghost or a dog. It's still energy.
Right.
So it's just that how you categorize that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So for instance, I have. Always, since I was a little kid, people, and this is really hard to explain because it's very intangible, people feel different to me. And I'm not talking about I go up and touch their knockers or something. I mean, people feel different to me, and I'll get this, it's not a memory, it's not a thought, it's like a feeling, a vibration or something that'll just slip in and out of me, and I'll realize that it's somebody's. All I can say is it's their signature. So, like, Ellen, you feel differently to me than talking to Rick does. Or
sure.
Does that make any sense? And is that that same type of energy that you're talking about then?
Yeah, it's energy emitted by whatever. And that's usually, everybody can feel it if they're aware enough to it. And it's more of an empathic sensitive sense. In other words, you empathic mean you empathize, you feel it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, I don't know, my mind has a capability of doing that, except for they need to slow down and recognize it, because most people don't, they're just too busy to rationalize it.
Well, you or
but, yeah.
no, they do rationalize it, that's just it. Like, when I actually stop to think about it, I think, okay, is it a thought? So as soon as it becomes part of my brain instead of just part of the experience I have, then it changes it.
Exactly.
For me.
Because you're recognizing that energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but mostly, and most of my stuff is there, but a lot of it is remote or etherical travel too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the distance thing, which is kind of very
what's
hard
that?
To explain.
Oh, so
what? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. So I ask you, what etherical travel is. Just as you're saying, it's really hard to explain. So try.
Well, etherical travel is a lot of people get it mixed up. More people have heard of astral travel.
Yes.
The difference between astral and etherical is astral is like out in space, okay? They go out in space. Etherical is defined as you're going someplace on Earth. You're not traveling to the moon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to Africa or your next door neighbors or wherever it may be. But it's still traveling, basically. It's like remote viewing. Are you guys familiar with remote viewing? The government
oh, yeah.
had the big multi-million dollar thing in the 80s to find Gaddafi. It's much like remote viewing, to where you're not actually going and spying on anybody, but you're sending the ability that you have to travel to a location to observe what's going on or to empathically pick up something that's there.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. A lot of people, you know, nowadays in the paranormal field, they kind of have a problem with, you know, psychics, and I understand that, sure, because it's something intangible and it's not something that you can prove. But how do you, now you said before that you guys are scientific, so how is it that you, do you ever bring the two together, or do you keep, you know, both sets of research separate?
Both. Okay. Basically what happens is, most of the time I try to go in closed. But sometimes stuff happens and you just, that someone that's hitting you with a 2x4, you can't avoid it. Sure. So what happens is, with any of our members, whether they're sensitive or not, you know, we always have audio going. So if there's something you see or touch or feel, they always say, hey, you know, someone just touched me, or I see something in the corner. So it's right, documented. And we call that on our team a personal experience.
Sure.
That is not evidence, okay? The only time we submit that as evidence is if we get EVP, video, photo, backup right then and there at the same, you know, same time. The only time I incorporate that would be the same thing as somebody who's totally not sensitive if they said they saw something.
Okay.
So if I pick up something on an investigation, I'll say there's something, you know, touching me, or I hear a noise or whatever, it's the same as anybody else saying that on the team that's not sensitive. It's totally thrown out the door unless we're getting some EVP or something else, thermal or something to back it up.
Now, you know, I apologize, Ellen. I think we had one of those lags.
And I try not to say a whole lot, because what happens when you say a whole lot is that if you're with investigators that know you're sensitive, you can throw them completely off on the wrong tangent.
Sure.
Because you're setting a false thing in their mind. So I try not to say a whole lot, or there's a few little I'll say so that I remember to note it, that they wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, watch out for the guy standing in the corner, because pretty soon you got this, all the investigators are seeing the guy in the corner. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think my question is this. I mean, you know, you use the term sensitive, and everybody is sensitive to their own, you know, certain degree. Like I said, I think it's an evolutionary throwback to the fight or flight mechanism in our brain. But now, are you saying that you have, you know, I don't want to use the term psychic abilities, but, you know, an ability?
Yes, and I hid that for years. In fact, my team members didn't know that at all. After about a year and a half, I slowly opened up a little bit about some things I experienced, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until probably within the last 3 or 4 months that I have actually, I call it my coming out of the closet, so to speak, that I have fully admitted to more than about 2 people on my team what goes on.
But now you're admitting to the Paranormal Underground Nation.
I know, and that was a hard, you know, I fought that forever, doing that, but it's literally like, you know, it's hard to withhold that when you're seeing,
sure,
especially with your team, you know, when you're seeing stuff go on around them, to not say something that's a concern.
Yeah.
You know, if you're seeing somebody following them into their car, kind of say, hey, they're following you into your car. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's my question, though, is how do you get to the place where you admit to yourself that it's an ability and not your imagination?
That's different for everybody, but for me, it took a long, long time of getting to know people that I trust, that have, like, capabilities that could give me feedback. Or trusting enough people, for example, when I'm having a conversation, to be honest with me, if I pick something up with them on the phone, to be honest with me and say, yeah, that happened, or yes, that's here, or yes, that's where I'm sitting, or yes, I am wearing purple, or yeah, it was a bad day, you know, so it kind of confirms what I'm picking up. But no one's ever right all the time. I don't mean it by that
Sure.
way.
But let me just ask you this. Don't you think that in a way, especially when you know the history of psychical research and investigation, you know, psychic ability and investigation of the paranormal has always been, you know, hand in hand, going back to the old SPR days, Society for Psychical Research in England, you know, Florence Cook and the rest of them. Sure. Don't you think it's kind of sad that people who are gifted need to feel ashamed that you have to have a quote unquote coming out of the closet?
Yes, from my own experience, it can really, if you're sensitive in any way, it messes with you your whole life. I mean,
sure.
and it's bottling up. It's like anything else, you know. But it's one of the reasons I, after having enough confidence came out, was I can't take it anymore. I mean, people already think I'm weird for crawling through dark, creepy buildings looking for ghosts, so what else are they going to say? I mean, really, that's really, you can't. I think people don't like it because it scares them.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's because it's something that they don't understand, they can't control. You know, here's the thing, though.
And a lot of it, too,
Go ahead. No,
a lot of it, too, is people don't, I don't believe you because I don't see it. But the other factor is if they do know you enough to where you're not going to, you know, pull their leg on it, they become pretty much afraid of what you're seeing around them.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody has things they don't want the whole public to know, right? I mean, we all want our personal space. So I think it freaks a lot of people out because they don't. It's like they're afraid you can read every little stupid thing they've done.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, I can see that. That would not occur to me, but, you know, I don't have a lot of secrets, so there you go. So, you know what I find interesting about actually what Rick said is that, you know, it's the needing to come out of the closet thing. When you look at the professionals, the actual professionals in the field of paranormal research, the parapsychologists who have degrees in this, they have the utmost respect for people with abilities. As a matter of fact, it's the people with abilities are your. It's the hobbyists, and this part of it,
the ghost that hunters,
that has the problem with the psychic stuff.
Yes and no, depending on who it is. I mean, really, and I understand that completely because teams not knowing other teams, you know, they don't know if you're just running through a building going, oh, I see a ghost, look there, now it's haunted. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because there's teams that do that. Hollywood. You know, there's teams that do that, you know, it's a real, it's like anything else in this world. There are some really honest, legit people, and there are some real people who are just out to scam people and get money.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's the good, the bad, and ugly in the psychic sense. That's what I call it. But it is, and the paranormal, you know, investigators should be the hardest skeptical, because if they're not looking at open-mindedly and skeptically, then they shouldn't be investigating. Period. In my mind.
I'll agree with that. I was just going to say is, you know, there is a difference between the ghost hunter and the paranormal investigator researcher. It's kind of a vast difference. Ghost hunters, they're a little bit more close-minded. And I've actually met some ghost hunters who are absolutely hostile to the idea of working with any kind of, you know, spiritual medium or a sensitive. They're like, no, we can't do that. That's like, they act like that's the greatest sin in the world. But the paranormal investigator will actually test that person's abilities and, you know, use that abilities for the betterment of the field.
Don't you think the bad psychics are the ones who got them there in the first place? You know, because experience is that I have had the opportunity to spend time with some pretty legitimate people that Ellen and I both know. I absolutely believe that William Becker, for instance, of West Coast Ghost Hunters, is exactly what he says he is. But on the other hand, I've had the opportunity to spend some time with people that Ellen and I probably both know that are not exactly what they say they are either. They put on the big, you know, the big psychic act, and so don't you think that's what damages people perception of psychics?
It is,
and I term it like this way to people who find out, you know, because it's only been recently that I've admitted to it, and I won't walk up to someone and say it. That's not how I operate, but neither mm-hmm. does William, you know.
Right.
If someone walks up to you on the street and within 5 minutes of ever meeting them, they tell you that they're psychic or medium and see dead people, throw them out the window.
Yeah.
Because if you've never met that person, why do they have the need to tell you that?
Right.
You know, the honest people that I've had dealings with are much more, they don't hide it per se because they'll talk about it, but you have to get to know them before they feel comfortable telling you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I've in my time in the field, I have literally met hundreds of people who claim to be psychic, and I actually only know four that I could say without a shadow of a doubt do possess some kind of, lack of a better term, supernatural ability.
Mm-hmm. And the other factor to that, too, is, you know, all of us are human beings. You know, you can have 15 people looking at a picture of a violet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get at least half of those saying it's purple, and then I don't know how many others saying no, it's violet, no, it's blue, no, it's black.
Right.
And what happens is, interestingly enough, and I hope William doesn't bash me for this, but we've been...
William doesn't bash people. Okay, go on.
I'll get a text from him pretty soon here. But what happens is when you get people who literally have at least some recognize their talent for it, is you can literally get them in a room, and they may see all the same thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to see different colors in a different way.
Yeah.
In a different, because that's what energetically they are able to recognize. Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people's abilities are different. You know, it's interesting because I walked through, well, it was a brothel, believe it or not, with William one time. And as I walked through, every time I'd walk to a spot and I'd be like, ooh, this is a creepy spot, William would be like, oh, yes, well, there's this going on here. We'd walk into a room and I'd go, oh, there's something creepy in that closet. And he'd say, oh, well, yes, that's because there's somebody hiding. It's really funny.
See, so you have more talent than you know.
No, mine is, ooh, that's creepy.
It is, and that's, you know, that's what's nice about being or communicating with William is that you know what's coming out of him is honest and sincere.
Yep, I know. So I can identify creepy, but William can tell me why it's creepy. So, you know, I like following yeah. William around.
I would love to meet William because if he's as legit as you guys say, that could be number five on my list of people that I, you know, think are legit.
He is. He's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's good. We've had lots of. He's been kind enough to involve me in a lot of different things going on and it's kind of interesting to find out that we both have, you know, different ways of picking up and different capabilities. And so yeah. It's been kind of interesting working with him.
Well, sure. And he's kind of doing some mentoring of people, too. He has something called Paranormal Insights, and he's doing some mentoring of people through that. And I know that that's actually one of the things we were going to talk about in a few minutes anyway. I know that he's been working with a group of you where you just recently got together and met at, like, a McMenamin's in Troutdale, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the second time... The first time it was just a group of people with capabilities meeting, and we were checking some stuff out. That was last year, kind of aside from the group, and we had fun. So a bunch of team members wanted to go and just kind of informally, you know, check things out and have fun. And we took William's tour, and yeah, it was. It's never a dull moment when you get a bunch of paranormal investigators and some sensitives together. I mean, there's absolutely never a dull moment. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So one of the things that you've been really active in that I actually really appreciate is you've been really active in trying to set aside all of the crazy turf wars and drama of some of the paranormal community, and you've been striving for unity in the paranormal community. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
It's exactly what we need.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't know if unity is necessarily the best. Some people really get mad when we say that because they think it means that everybody has to follow the same. Everything. But the intent is that we need to stop battling and we need to start just communicating, because it's, I chalk it up to be, I parallel it to like the drug companies, you know, that do make drugs for different stuff. If they all were independently on their own and someone found a, you know, a cure for AIDS or cancer or something, but they didn't tell anybody else about it, what good would it do to those cancer patients or whatever if no one knew about it?
Right. Yeah.
So it's much the same with paranormal investigation. You know, there's a lot of groups that just won't even talk to anybody or share anything, or even if it's just talk about techniques or approaches or equipment. How, you know, you're running around and everybody has all this stuff. Well, who knows? Because you're not telling anybody. There's so much to learn from other teams and other people.
Yeah.
Only until we can all openly communicate and throw around ideas and evidences can we all kind of start to see patterns of stuff.
Yeah, and there's a kind of a core group developing in Washington and Oregon. Mm-hmm. Involving Ellen's group and some groups over here on this side and West Coast Ghost Hunters. And there's kind of a core group that's been developing, and it's nice to see, and it's been nice to be a part of, you know, whenever I've had the time.
Yeah. I mean, and there's other groups that are developing kind of in their own little, you know, I don't know if Bert's still on here, but NWPIA and some of those others get together quite often. What is it, Bridgetown and some of those people, they get together quite often too. But it's not like we're having our own little, gang wars either, because I know that I talk to you occasionally.
You guys aren't having, like, rap battles or anything like that?
No ghost rap battles. But NWTI, you know, there's times I've talked to Bert and those guys on the phone about throwing around different ideas and... so we talk. It's not like we have these little, you know, group warfares or anything.
Mm-mm.
And it is opening up. It's getting better. There's a lot more teams that are starting to open up to talk to everybody, which is kind of really cool to see.
Sure.
Yeah, it is. I definitely. So, Rick, you had something you were going to say.
Oh, no, I said it about the rap battle. That was like, you know, having, you know, no rap battles. But no, it's, you know, it's really quite serious, though. It's almost as if the paranormal field has become like a religion, and we have different denominations, you know, like the Catholics, they pray to Mary, and the Lutherans, they don't. And, you know, it's in a way, it's kind of gotten a little bit, I think, away from what it is that we're really trying to do. And I don't know if you agree with this, but with the group that I belong to, we really try and help the people that we're dealing with. And I think that that's something that's been lost in the paranormal field in the last, decade or so, almost decade. What are your thoughts about that, Ellen?
I totally agree.
Okay.
I totally, unfortunately, there's teams, you know, that we get called to do an investigation on because the last team just came and investigated and ditched them, you know?
Sure.
We're talking about, especially if it's a residential home, people whose lives are just upside down based on whatever the, you know, activity is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first is they want someone to talk to that's not going to think they're crazy. The second is they want to know what's going on. And the third is, they want to know what you found. And the fourth is, well, can I still call you? And it's absolutely about helping them, because they don't understand what's going on. I mean, a lot of times when we go back with evidence, as if we have any, and explain it to them, then they're okay with that, because now they know what they're dealing with. You know, it just depends on the situation. But we have clients, you know, that we've done investigations when we first started that we're still... You know, we still talk to them every 3, 4, 5 months if something new comes up. You know, we're always there for them.
Sure.
It's such very traumatizing for some people, some of the stuff that's going on. I mean,
it really is.
It's scary for people because, you know, they think of ghosts as something frightening as opposed to people without bodies.
So. Yeah, and the other factor that a lot of teams don't recognize about staying in touch with clients and helping them is that it gives you, you know, a better way to monitor the situation and assess it and see what new events come up and to add that to the informational poll so that mm-hmm. all of us can better understand what could happen or what does happen. You know, if you just walk away from a client, you don't know if it's going to end there. Well, what if something else happens in 6 months? You know,
right. I mean,
so, yeah, and it's all about the client. You know, that's
yes.
that's what it should be. And then, of course, getting the information and documenting it, but you don't walk over anybody to do that.
Right.
Right.
You know, with that being said, Ellen, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to throw it over to Cheryl for that. And you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stick around.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on ZTalk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on ZTalk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
Filet of Femi Snake in the cauldron, boil and bake. I have newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog, adder's fork and blind worm's sting, lizard's leg and howlet's wing, for a charm of powerful trouble, like hell broth boil and bubble. This brew be ye only salvation from your favorite radio station.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Rad. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We are talking with Ellen Allmendinger from Past is Present in Yakima. In Yakima, Wisconsin.
Not Wisconsin. Yeah, hey there, eh?
We're the other W. We're the other W state. You know, my son's on his dad's side of the family. His dad and I are divorced, but on his dad's side of the family, they are from Wisconsin, and he's never really spent any time around him. And like 2 weeks ago, he spent time with his grandma, and they're from Wisconsin, and he thought that did we lag? He thought that they're. Yeah, he thought that their accents were hilarious. And so then I made him watch Fargo so that he could see, you know, that kind of, yeah, sure, you betcha. And he was like, oh my God, that sounds like grandma. So it was great. Anyway.
It's kind of funny because my wife is, you know, she's from the northern suburbs, and she always makes fun. Apparently, I have an accent.
You do, totally.
Yeah, well, I've had other. It's kind of funny when you travel to different parts of the country and I speak. People are like, "Oh yeah, you're from Chicago," and it's like, "Yeah, I am." So you know, we're going to the Jewels and the Walmarts.
Yeah. Hey, so you know what we haven't talked about yet, Ellen?
What?
What led you to be the, you know, the person who crawls around in creepy basements? What made you decide to do that?
Yes.
Wow, that's a good question. Probably, you know, that relates back to the sensitive stuff because I'd been experiencing stuff my whole life and kind of wanted answers. So then long before the team actually developed, I was doing quite a bit of research and pendant stuff to kind of research that. And then it just got to the point where I started to see that it was obviously more mainstream to, you know, more formally investigate. So we started the team going.
Okay. Hmm. Very good. Cool. Yeah. So, are you ever afraid, or are you kind of the place where I am, where, you know, these people without bodies and, for the most part, they're not scary.
Am I ever afraid?
Yes. Are you ever afraid?
Afraid for me really isn't the right answer. Sometimes I get kind of amped up because of stuff I'm experiencing. Probably once when we were in Sports Center, when the door slammed in my face twice, that kind of got my attention a little bit, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that was probably the scariest. And then there was one time in a cemetery when everybody heard what I was seeing. That was kind of different. But usually, no. I mean, you never, you know, when you're investigating, you're never alone.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And I'm so used to it by now, a lot of people think I'm freaking out and scared, but it's more just I'm reacting to the stuff that's there.
Sure.
You're excited. Did you see that?
What the hell was
that?
There's demons trying to...
Zach Bagan's reactions are somewhat larger than most of us.
Yeah, I love Zach, though.
Come on. Do you not say on investigations, did you see that? Did you hear that? What was that? I mean, I say those things all the time.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes the team members or myself will say, did you hear that? You know, so that you can note it on the audio. Stuff like that is, did you hear that? I think important, because if you're hearing something audibly, then you can catch it hopefully on EVP. I honestly try not to say, do you not see that man standing over there? Because it does lead self-pretenses to people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, mostly I have my little keywords, like I'll ask somebody else if they're doing okay, and they have no clue what I'm doing. Of course, now that they're probably listening, they do. But because that's a question I know triggers, because I listen to mostly EVP, that I'm experiencing something and I'm trying to see if anybody else is. And so if I get anything around that, I won't count that as a personal experience, but it'll just kind of, I try not to, because it does freak other people out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will tell you that the one time that I saw, because I've seen a full-bodied apparition only once, and the one time I saw it, I could not have been calm, because I was so damn excited.
Oh yeah, that kind of stuff just amps you up.
I was like, you know, jumping up and down. Oh my God, do you know what I just saw? I mean, and in the moment, it was like this, you know how I say I kind of get the spidey sense and I get the creepy thing. It was like, when I get that normally, it's kind of localized. I'll get it on an arm or on the back of my neck or something. But when I saw this thing, it was my entire body was engaged. And I was just so jacked from seeing it. There was no way I could not have said, did you just see that? Because otherwise I would have wondered why I was standing next to him, jumping up and down, yelling, woo-hoo. So.
And a lot of times what I find myself doing, it's kind of weird. And again, the team will probably pick up on this if they're listening, is I'll go, hey, you know, whoever I'm with, look that direction and just watch it for a while and see if you see anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you're much calmer than me because I get really excited. Oh, my God, I'm Zach Bagans. Oh, shit.
Just don't jump out a three-story window. We'll be okay.
Yeah. You know, no. I don't get that excited, but I get pretty excited when something big happens. You know, not like the little subtle things. Little subtle things, I'm fine. It's like something touches my leg. I just kind of think, okay. But when it's something big and I hear something really cool or I see something really cool, nah, I have no poker face.
No. Well, I was just going to say, I've been, you know, actively investigating for about, you know, almost 20 years now. And I still can't help but get just amped up, excited, go crazy when I see something. It's can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are a few times, you know, I'm much more closed off in investigations. But I think the funniest thing that it probably ever happened with me was we were doing a private tour for a Washington State author that somehow got connected with us. And she had been hired to write a book about spooky places or something like that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And so she was coming to Yakima to interview some other people about different things. And so she requested this tour. And as we're walking around, we usually don't go into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, we were able to go into this one building. And there was an artist in there doing these community art stuff, right? So she let us in, and I'm telling this lady the history of this building and that we recently investigated it, but not telling her the findings because I'm not supposed to say that. And as I'm standing there, I'm seeing this ghost run back and forth in this little kitchen area.
Okay.
And it was so bad that I was, like, just staring at it, and pretty soon one of my team members went, Ellen, over here, we're not on that. And the lady, I didn't know it because I was just watching this, but the lady, come to find out, is terrified of anything paranormal.
Oh, no.
So you don't want to lay anything like that on her.
And my only response to that was when my member kind of pulled me out of this trance I was in was, I turned and asked the art lady, hey, are you the only person in here? And she says, yeah. So then we leave, and she tells me later what's going on, and I'm terrified of this stuff. So I guess the look on my face kind of gave it away, but it was, like, so hard. You know, poor lady, I probably scared her to death, but it's like, can you guys not see that guy running back and forth?
Oh, you're better than me, because I would have been jumping up and down going, woohoo!
See, I kind of wonder, was that an intelligent or a residual? I mean, because the running the back and forth, was it a big kitchen?
No, it was this little side area thing. And what got me is, you know, usually on our tours I'll see stuff, but I don't say anything, you know, on the tours because that's not what the tours are about.
Sure.
But this particular wanted my attention. It was like it was messing with me. And running by the door so that I could see it, but not stopping long enough for me to really get a good description on it. You could just see some guy running by it. And it was like over and over and over. And my sense was, no, it wasn't a residual. It was an intelligent messing with me.
Okay.
So you think they know that you can see them then? That you can where somebody else can't?
Sometimes I think that way. If they're an intelligent and they have something they want you to know, I think so. Other times, I've come in other situations where, if I see him there, absolutely outraged that you can see him.
Right. Really?
Depending on the situation, yeah, they don't want to, you know, they like being able to mess with people without you recognizing it kind of thing. So it just depends on the situation.
I would be that kind. I would be the kind that would never want somebody to see me unless I wanted them to, because I would like to mess with people. That's the kind of ghost I'm going to be.
If I die before you, Ellen,
watch for it.
I would be the most evil ghost on the planet. I mean, they would think that they would have to bring priests in there to exorcise me, and I'll just sit back and laugh at them.
Oh, you are awful.
I don't want to be evil. Well, you know, like, I hope that you will come up to Wellington this summer, because I truly believe that the ghosts up there do the things they do because they like to mess with people, because they're far more active with new people than the people that have been there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like the guy that, the hapless dude that's walking through whistling, and that's the guy they're going to screw with.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. I mean, it just depends on, you know, they're dead human beings, basically, and they had characteristics and attitudes or whatever you want to call it before they died, and many of them just keep carrying that on.
Yeah, that's how I know. Too. That's how I know what kind of ghost I'm going to be.
Are you going to be a ghost writer, Karen? Is that what you're going to do?
No, I'm not going to write when I'm a ghost, because I'll finally be retired. No, I'm going to be the ghost that messes with people, with the poor hapless sap walking along whistling. I'm going to be that ghost that jumps out and goes,
Boo, did I scare you?
I'm going to be a Scooby-Doo ghost.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that means you don't exist then.
Oh, that's true. Then I'll be Old Man Watkins or whatever it is.
I know, I keep telling my team, okay, when I die, you can just, you know, get out that EVP recorder and slap it on top of my coffin at the funeral, because, you know, I'll have a few choice words to say, like, I told you so.
There you go.
I'll be telling dirty jokes the whole time.
Yeah. So, hey, I might as well ask you, since we have a few minutes, what do you think about Ouija boards?
Not.
So do you think, when you say not, are you saying not like in their portals to evil, or not like they're a toy from Parker Brothers?
Kind of both. Okay. Not as in that they are not a toy. Mm-hmm. Just because what happens is, not only from my own sense of self, but from cases we've had, is people generally, in general, don't understand the dimensional stuff, don't understand that there might be something there, and you're inviting it to do something. You're inviting it for interaction. That doesn't mean it's all, like, demonic. That doesn't mean it's calling in bad spirits. But it's attracting energies that 99% of the time people have no idea that they've even attracted them. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily the board, because, you know, like Karen said, how bad can it be? It says Parker Brothers on it. It's just like chutes and ladders or whatever. Do you think that it's the intention behind the person that's actually opening up that doorway? Okay.
So if it's some buddy who watched the Ghost Hunters once and decides to do an EVP session, couldn't that have the same effect as the intention behind a Ouija board then?
Yes, they're similar, but here's the difference, how I chalk it up, anyway, for my own personal self, is, like you said, it's the Parker Brothers Ouija board. You've got people that aren't used to what to ask, what to do, what to happen, messing with something that can create a response, mm-hmm. a better word. Mm-hmm. People, I like to think that people who do EVP sessions, if they're anywhere near professional on a team or whatever, have enough common sense and background to realize that when you're asking questions, something may happen.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
They're
generally better educated about it.
That's true. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
You know what I find interesting about the whole EVP and all that? You know, a lot of people, they don't want to admit to it, but it kind of really is part of the physical mediumship, because you are actively trying to contact a spirit. Mm-hmm. Do you think, you know, that what am I trying to say? Do you think that, you know, that it is part of the spirit, the physical mediumship, and people, they just don't want to admit to that?
Do you think any of the EVPs are a result of that, you mean?
Yeah, in the EVPs.
Interestingly enough, we have had one case where we had a client who was sensitive that we were doing an EVP session at this location, mm-hmm. and she was sensitive. We would get an EVP from the little boy answering our questions, and then she would answer the same thing on the EVP.
Yeah. I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
Where I've actually, like, seen the words in my head, and then I actually heard them on EVP later.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think, though, that it can go as far as if you have someone sensitive doing an EVP session. I truly don't think that they can project the thoughts out into the atmosphere to get them back and record it, if that's what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can definitely make EVP sessions very interesting, but so, it's not enough to create that EVP.
So tell me this. So you don't think that, like, if I'm sitting there and I really want, or I'm really focusing on something, you don't think I could imprint that psychokinetically on a recording medium? Like, I couldn't sit there and think, no, 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 and have it show up?
Not on EVP.
Okay.
But I agree with you, Ellen.
But if you're talking video or photos, mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely possible.
Okay.
And I only say that from personal experience, because thoughts are like energies that you project out.
Right.
Sure.
And so if you're focusing on something, it could project the energy out and get it. It's rare, but get it to manifest. And I only know that from personal, you know, remote traveling, that you can get things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be pretty rare.
Okay.
Shoot, I thought I was, I thought I had stronger will than that. I was going to try it the next time I turned on my recorder.
Well, try it. It's definitely, I've never tried that. It's definitely worth trying.
Well, I think it's, in a way, don't you think it's kind of the same way of looking at your hand and being, hamburger appear? You know, it's kind of a creating something from nothing.
It is. Exactly that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as a remote traveler,
okay,
I have accidentally knocked stuff over on a table to where I traveled to, and that person has witnessed it.
Oh, did it freak him out?
No, because they knew it was happening.
Oh, okay.
And so I would get a call and say, "You just knocked over my glass," or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that can happen. And I've often wondered if you can astrically, those who can project themselves to a remote location, is that a ghost? Because, you know, what if they're sensitive, can they see me when I'm there?
Yeah.
So would I show up as like an apparition because not all my energy is there? I'm obviously able to knock stuff over if I'm not careful.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So in my mind, it's like, okay, are the dead ghosts actually able to project themselves and that's what we're seeing in these shadow figures and stuff? Or is it something else entirely?
Right. Well, that's kind
or
of
it could be. It could be living people, too.
Yeah, like a crisis apparition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person's about to die and they project their spirit or etheric self across millions of miles to their son, you know, or daughter. So
we only have a couple minutes and I have to ask you this because it just occurred to me. How on earth did you figure out you could do that?
Sadly to say, I've been doing it my whole life. It started when I was about 3, when I informed my parents what Egypt looked like. I had never been to Egypt or read books at 3 on Egypt or known anything about Egypt. Mm-hmm. They kind of laughed at me, you know, overactive imagination. But looking at that, that's probably the earliest that I remember it happening. It was happening without intent. And then just over the years, you start to recognize how to control it and bring it in and reel it in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes absolute sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So you think that most people discover it sort of unintentionally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sort of looking for it. I mean, I honestly think that people can develop the skills if they you know, have patience and they are lucky enough to have someone to kind of help guide them there. You can get it. Because the more, you know, over the years, the more I've experimented with it and met people that I can trust and had some guidance, the easier it becomes, and then the more the other senses fill in. So it's kind of like learning something.
So do you think that there are more people gifted than realize they are? Do you think that there are, I've always sort of believed that everybody has the ability on some level. It's just a matter of people who either choose to develop it or pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the pay attention is the big thing. I just recently told one of our members who was asking about it, the best thing to do is, you know, people don't stop. You know, if you're walking down the street and you get a bad vibe, a gut feeling that we all get from somebody walking, you know, by you, it's the same sort of thing, only you're going, oh, he's weird, and you keep going. If you stop and you think, why do I think he's weird? What am I getting? Then more will kind of pick up, okay, I think it's because of this, or I think it's because of that. It's just taking the time to recognize that you pick something up and not just keep walking. You got to stop and think about what it is you just experienced. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and so, you know what, that if you actually pay attention to that stuff, and especially pay attention to those gut feelings, then maybe it makes it easier to not second-guess yourself.
I mean, just in life
in general, you know? So, like, when I get a bad vibe about something, like, I'm a court-appointed special advocate for kids. My very first case, I walked into the hearing, I sat down, I knew exactly, the parents walked in, I looked at them, I knew exactly what the situation was, and a week later, exactly what I knew the situation was the outcome of the case.
Exactly.
Wow, Karen.
That's exactly what I was talking about. It's the recognizing of it and stopping and taking time to see what you just saw, heard, felt, whatever it may be, however you pick up.
Right.
And sometimes it's too wild, you know, you think you see something and you're just, your brain's on something else. It's getting your brain to stop and analyze that for a little bit. But it's exactly what you just said.
Well, see, the thing is that what I've always wondered about it, you know, people are energy. You know, when I work out in the front room, I easily raise the temperature like 2 degrees. But, you know, we're energy.
That's because you're hot, Rick. Oh,
well,
sorry.
Thank you very much. But do you think that this is more like an energy thing? Like it's an energy signature that people give off? And there are some people who are just, you know, they're a little bit more in tune with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much like, you know, there's some, for example, I'll get stuff off of paintings, for example. And the best way to describe it is, you know, if an artist is spending a week creating a painting, they're putting energy and time into that painting. So it's leaving an imprint of that energy, their thoughts, and you can tell by the colors or whatever they may use at the time. Is it depressing? Is it happy? That's the energy of the moment that they created it.
Sure.
And it doesn't, energy never goes away. Scientifically, it just goes to a different form.
Mm-hmm.
So they're projecting
energy. That's a law of energy conservation.
Yeah. They're projecting their energy onto that item, which would explain some of the supposed items that may have a haunting to it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was just going to say, Ellen, is there, you know, anything, you know, any websites or, you know, anything that you got coming up that you'd like to, you know, tell us all about real quick?
Nothing off the top of our hand. You can see our website and get in touch with, you know, us that way. I am so out there these days with everything that there's tons of them out there.
Yeah.
That I can't off the top of my head think of any one particular one. I'm sorry.
So that's okay. Pastispresent.net. Thank you for staying with us for the whole time, too. I really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you, Ellen.
No problem.
So let me give you a real quick rundown of what we have coming up in the next couple weeks on Paranormal Underground Radio. We have on June 30th, Catherine Holderby, a Gettysburg investigator, and she was featured in our December 2010 issue of Paranormal Underground magazine. Is that next week? Oh, my God. Next week is June 30th.
I love Gettysburg. Anything that deals with Gettysburg.
I know. We've had Catherine on before, and so I'm looking forward to revisiting Gettysburg. And then also remember that the June issue of Paranormal Underground magazine is out right now. It's at paranormalunderground.net. Oh, Cheryl just told me we have not had Catherine Holderby on. I could have sworn we had her on. Oh, well. Sorry. So... but anyway, so new magazine at paranormalunderground.net.
Oh, and there's something else further here, too, what we were talking about. It's kind of like a reader and listener appreciation show.
Oh, thank you.
People can, send us their personal experiences. We want anything. Even if the story starts off with you saying, you're going to think I'm crazy, but we want to hear about your personal experiences.
I never thought this would happen to me. We don't want those. The penthouse forum, they all start out with, I never thought this would happen to me, but
something with a midget and a one-legged hooker, but nothing like that. We're looking for your personal experiences. Write it to us, 100 words, 150 words or whatever, and a month, we want to get this show on about a month from now, and Karen and I, we will read your personal experiences because we think personal experience is the thing that really drives the paranormal field.
So why don't you mail it to editor@paranormalunderground.net? Right? Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Ellen, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you had a good time. And join us next week, 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 p.m. in the flyover states, 9 o'clock Eastern.
City in the world, Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.